I'm not going to read all of this. In fact, I'm just going to kind of run through it for time's sake. It's a story of a man that comes in to the king's room, into the throne room. It says, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. Everybody say, a lifetime of wages. But for so much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold. He was going to be sold as a slave, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and the payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. This might have been a week's worth of wages, maybe a little more. And he laid his hands on him, and he took him by the throat, saying, pray, he says, pay me what thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but when he cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when the fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. And when his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all thy debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou have also had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and he delivered him unto the tormentors until he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye in your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." Lord Jesus, I pray, God, that your spirit would move and flow in this place. Lord, that you would anoint me and use me this morning, that you would speak into our hearts and into our minds, oh God, that your will and your way would be done in this place. In your name we pray, in Jesus' name. This morning I want to talk about, just for just a few minutes, about when it's okay to look into your past. We always talk about, you know, you look at Lot's wife as she turned and looked back towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And when she looked back, she was turned into a pillar of salt. And we talk about the importance of always looking forward. You've always got to be looking forward. Don't spend time in your past. Don't spend time looking at your faults of yesterday. And don't spend time looking back and seeing what is behind you. I was reading an article the other day about how the New York City, this was a few years back, I believe around 2014 they did this, and they begin to go back in time and look for parking tickets that had not been paid, or that they did not have proof of things that had been paid, speeding tickets around the city. They went back to 1994 and begin to pull up stuff. And so there was a gentleman by the name of Paul Fox. He was a truck driver by living, and one day he received three huge fines in the mail of parking tickets and speeding tickets from 1994. And so, we've got a room full of boxes that go back years and years of all of our information that we've tried to keep track of, and we're fixing to sit down in the next 2 weeks and clean it out and try to keep what we need and get rid of what we don't need. And the IRS only requires 7 years, but you might want to keep a few more than that. You just never know what's going to happen. But to try to find information from 20 years ago, you can't go to your bank and say, show me check stubs from 20 years ago to prove that I paid these parking tickets. You can't go down and get on the internet and pull up your bank account and go back 20 years on your online banking to find out and to prove that you paid these fines over 20 years ago. See, if you've got something in your past, you better take care of it right now. Because the further away you get from it, the harder it's going to be to get back to fix that situation. I had a good friend by the name of Tim Dunn. Tim Dunn was a youth pastor in Center, Texas. Now he pastors in Weatherford. And he lived in Tennessee for a while, and he got a speeding ticket in Tennessee, and he paid and had a lawyer get involved, and the lawyer said he took care of it. And so everybody had gone to Nacogdoches and had a big outreach event, and he was driving back to Center in the church van with a pile full of church kids in the van. He gets pulled over. The state police comes to the window, runs his information, and comes to find out he has a ticket that's 8 years old from Tennessee. He takes him out of the church van and handcuffs him against the church van in front of his face is against the window, and all the kids are on the other side waving and laughing at him. Put him in the church in the patrol car and waited for the a parent to show up from the church to drive the van back to the church because there was nobody to drive the van. And when the judge found out about it, he was furious. Like, well, what in the world were you doing? A speeding ticket from 8 years ago in a state that doesn't even touch ours, and you're going to take a guy to prison that is a youth pastor in front of all of the kids that he's the youth pastor of. You've got to make sure that if there is anything in your past, that it's taken care of. That if there is anything in your past, that you've put it under the blood, that you've made sure that it is right. Because the deal with God is, if you want to be saved, if you want to live for God, if you want to walk on streets of gold, God is continually going to be bringing that back up in your life. And if I refuse to deal with yesterday, he's going to have to do something drastic to get my attention for me to take care of something that could have possibly happened in my life over 20 years ago. We look at this story of this man that was just forgiven all of his debts, but all he wants to focus on is what this man did to him. All he wants to focus on is the past. He's not looking into the future saying, wow, I've been forgiven. Wow, I all of my debt, I've got freedom. It's not going to be on my credit score anymore. I can finally afford to get a new house because I don't have all of this dragging around behind me. And instead of looking into the future and what God wants to do, all he could focus on was the wrong that happened to him in his past. We've got to make sure that whatever's happened in our past has to be taken care of. The other day, I received my wife. We were getting in bed, and she said, oh, by the way, you have a box on the front porch. And so I hadn't ordered anything. It's one thing to be in trouble when you know you're in trouble, but I hadn't ordered anything. And so, man, I got up. It's 11 o'clock at night. I'd finally got everybody down to bed, and I get the box, and I bring it in, and sure enough, it's got my name on it. I know the company. I bought a hunting jacket from them 5 months ago, and it was on sale. I got it for a fourth of what they were charging for it in the middle of the summertime. And now they've sent me a box, and it's got a receipt in it, and it's full price now, and I'm not paying full price for anything, and I'm sitting there, and it's two jackets, and I already own one of them, and now I've got two more, and I'm like, babe, I didn't order these, I don't, and so I spent the rest of the next hour laying in bed going through all, you know, well, let's check my bank account, and nothing there, let's check the credit card, nothing there, where in the world did they charge me for these things, what's going on here, because if something is not right, you're going to make sure that you're going to get to the bottom of it and try to fix it if something's not right in your bank account. The bad part is it's never as good as we think it's going to be. Man, I've got money. Oh, dear God, how are we going to pay the bills this month? Where did it all go? What happened? What did we do? And then we go back and look. Oh, yeah, that's right. I did get gas. And oh, yeah, that's right. We did go out to eat. And oh, yeah, that's right. She did go to Walmart. And the kids needed new socks and T-shirts. And you finally start going back and finding out why you're having the problems that you're having at that moment in time. We'll get serious about our bank account, man. We will dig through that thing. We will comb through it. We will get out receipts. We will go back and check. We'll go bang on the door at the bank. We'll be there first thing in the morning to make sure that everything is right. We're going to get to the bottom of it. But when it comes to something that is important as whether or not we're going to walk on streets of gold, maybe next week. Maybe next month. Maybe another time. Maybe we'll take care of this at another place and another time. We don't like going to the doctor because we're afraid of what we're going to find out. It's the same way we get scared of spiritual checkups because we're afraid of what we're going to find out. We don't want to get too close because we might find out that we've got more issues than we thought we did, or we might have to admit to some of the issues that we didn't think anybody else knew about and that, you know, God didn't even know about, and we've got all this covered. John Edwards, a preacher in the 1800s, he had a resolution in his life that every week he would backtrack his life and look into the areas where he failed that week, and he would go back and try to figure out why he did what he did. He would look at where he messed up, whether it was an immoral thought, whether it was a word that he said, whether it was anger or whatever it was, and he would backtrack why he was acting the way that he was acting. Where does this come from? What happened here? Why am I doing this? Why am I allowing these things to affect my life? That I've got to go back in and look and to see what is causing all of this frustration in my life. And so he would go back. And you can begin to, you can figure out, well, why did I watch what I watched? And you can begin to backtrack. Well, I was thinking about this, and I looked at that, and I saw that, and I found that. Or why was I angry? Well, it was because this situation happened, and this happened, and that happened, and that is spawned from this, and this from that, and this comes from over here. And once something back there is festered enough, it doesn't take long for us to get excited over here. If there is something back there that is still festered and still not put under the blood and is still not forgiven or taken care of, that's what we get all crazy about over here. You wonder, well, how did I get so angry? Because there's something back there that you haven't looked back and taken care of. Why do I live at such a high place? It's because there's something back there that you haven't quite taken care of yet. There's something back there that you've got to step back and say, why am I where I'm at? Why am I running so hot? Why am I running at the level that I'm running in? I've got to go back and take a look around in my life and see what is going on in my world. You look at Jonah. Jonah was angry with God. Why? Because God did not destroy these people that he hated. He was angry. He was frustrated. You read at the end of Jonah 4, and he is angry. He is frustrated with God. I knew that you were going to do this. I knew that this was going to happen. Do you know what Jonah did when he was angry? He quit, first of all. He quit. When we get angry, when we allow things from yesterday begin to fester in our hearts, we'll quit. We start talking about quitting. We start thinking about quitting. Quitting starts coming across our mind. When we don't take care of things of yesterday, the first thing that begins to pop up in our mind is that we need to quit. We need to do something else. We need to. And so, first of all, he quit. Second of all, he separated himself from everybody else. He was angry. He quit what God had called him to do, and he went up and sat on the hillside and separated himself from everybody. And the third thing that he became is a spectator. If I don't take care of things in my life from yesterday, I'm going to be quitting. I'm going to become separated from everybody else in my life, and I'm going to become a spectator. This is not a spectator sport. I've got to make up my mind. I've got to make sure that everything is right in yesterday so that I can thrive in today. I've got to make sure that there's not any baggage that I'm dragging from yesterday that I can take care of, that I can bring to an altar and say, God, forgive me. God, search me. God, if there's anything in me, God, take it out of me right now. I think that one of the reasons that God chose Jonah to do the work that he did is because there were some things in Jonah that God had to get out of Jonah before he could be saved. There were some things in Jonah that God had to remove out of him before he could ever walk on streets of gold. He had to take him and put him in a place that he did not want to be because he refused to work on the things that were in his past that he did not want to work on. And God said, well, if you won't work on it, I'm going to ask you to go to Nineveh. I'm going to take you 500 miles away from where you are, and I'm going to put you through some situations because I'm more worried about you being saved than I am about you being comfortable. I'm more worried about you being saved than I am about you having a self-love and excited about yourself. And if I've got to bring you down to the very depths of the ocean to get a hold of your attention, to pull some of this junk out of you, then I'm going to do whatever it takes to save your life. You read in 2 Samuel 21 and 1. David is in the midst of a famine and he cannot figure out why. He's in the midst of a famine, a three-year famine, and he finally brings it to God. I think if I'm in a famine, it wouldn't take me 3 years to bring it to God. He finally brings it to God, and God speaks to him and says, the reason that you're in a famine is because of the Gibeonites. He probably didn't even know who the Gibeonites were. Who in the world are the Gibeonites? The Gibeonites was a tribe, or was a people that when Joshua came to take over the land, they went to Joshua and they made a false accusation of who they really were. They didn't say they were from Canaan, and they lied about who they were. They lied about where they lived. And Joshua, the scripture specifically says he did not pray about the situation. And Joshua makes a covenant with the Gibeonites to live in peace with them. And then they leave, and God reveals unto him what happened. And now Joshua is angry, chases him down, says, what is this situation? Why did you lie to me? And they're like, hey, we've got we made a covenant together that you cannot touch me, you cannot hurt me. And so now we're hundreds of years later, and Saul attacks the Gibeonites, and God punishes Israel because of something that Saul did that was created in the past. God said, until you get that relationship right, you're going to continue in this famine. God, this isn't my fault. Saul made this decision. Saul decided to be a part of this. Saul's the one that did that. Why do I have to pay for the sins of somebody else? Some of us, that's what we say. Why should I forgive them? I didn't do anything. They hurt me. They did it. They did all of that. They're the ones that brought all of this upon us. I wasn't there hundreds of years ago when Joshua made a covenant with the Gibeonites. Why should I suffer for something that the Gibeonites swindled hundreds of years ago, and now I'm going to suffer because of their dishonesty, because Joshua didn't pray and that Paul attacked the Gibeonites and slew them, and now I'm going to suffer for it? And God said, it doesn't matter how it happened or where it happened. I just need you to get it right before we can go forward. I understand that you had nothing to do with it and that people were hurt in the midst of the situation. I understand that there were lies that were told and people were swindled and people were completely blindsided by this situation. But what you have to understand is you cannot move forward until this situation is taken care of in your life. And not only can you not move forward, but everybody around you cannot move forward. Your family will not be able to move forward. Your church will not be able to move forward. The people that you rule will not be able to move forward until you go back and fix what was broken, what was hurt, what was destroyed all those years ago. You see, the problem is the eye can see everything but itself. The eye can see it all, but it can't see itself. That's why we've got to continually come to God and say, God, there are things I cannot see in my life. God, bring things to the surface. God, if there is something that I'm hiding in my past, if there's something in my past, if there's somebody that hurt me, if there's somebody that wounded me, if there's somebody that cut me deep, and I think that I've just gotten over it and everything's all right, but it's still there. God, help me, God, to get over this. Why do you think we're having such the problems in the United States of America today? It's because people have just learned to live together. They have not learned to forgive and let go of anything that has happened in the past. And that's why things can escalate in a moment's time, because there is still hate, there is still frustration, there is still anger, and there's still all of this stuff that's going on that nobody has any. It's all from yesterday, but yet it's still alive and well today. Why? Because somewhere along the way, we've got to make up our minds. God, there are things that I cannot see in my life, and I've got to get them out. John Wesley made a list of things that he prayed about continually. First one was, I am consciously and unconsciously created in the impression that I am better than I really am. In other words, I am a hypocrite. He said, I am under the impression that I am better than I really am. And in other words, I am a hypocrite, he said. God, if I'm a hypocrite, God, help me to see where I'm a hypocrite. Two, he said, am I honest in all of my acts and words, or am I extravagant in the words and the acts that I do? Am I telling the truth? Three, do I pass on to another what I was told in confidence? Can I be trusted? Am I a slave to my dress, to my friends, to my work, and to my habits? When did I last speak to someone else about my faith? Do I pray about the money that I spend? Do I get to bed on time and get up on time? Do I disobey God in anything? Am I jealous, impure, critical, irritable, touchy, or distrustful? Is there anyone I fear, dislike, disown, criticize, hold resentment towards, or disregard? If so, what am I doing about it? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Put out anything in me that offends you and leads me along a path that would not lead me along a path of everlasting life. Questions that he would ask himself. Questions that he would take a long look in the mirror and begin to, are these things going on in my life? Am I being honest about myself? Am I being honest about who I am? I've come to the realization that I'm a bigger hypocrite than I really think that I am. And am I being honest about who I am and what's in my past and the life that I'm living? Because if I want to be saved, if I'm doing everything that I can to be saved, you can rest assured that God is continually going to be bringing those things back up in your life if you want to be saved. I remember there's a certain kind of people, a certain kind of person. I had a boss that she was a mess, and she was headstrong, she was bullish, she was mean, I had conflict with her, and I remember I had a man of God in my life tell me, as long as you have conflict in that relationship, God is continually going to allow there to be conflict in your life, because if you're going to be saved, he's going to have to work out whatever's creating that conflict in you. And I said, oh, dear God in heaven. And it was the truth. For the next 6 years, everywhere I went, he made sure that there was that kind of personality that was my boss in my life. And they ruled with an iron fist. And everything inside of me that would bow up, God would say, oh, there it is again. There it is again. There it is again. And I'd have to, okay, God, okay, God. And they told the truth, because I wanted to be saved. And so everywhere I went, God made sure there was a situation that was going to create whatever was in me that was not right, that was going to be pulled to a place that it could be put on the surface one more time, that I could bring it to an altar and say, God, I'm still struggling with this issue in my life. I don't know what it is. I don't know how far down the road it's been in your life. I don't know if it has to do with your parents, family members, an ex-wife, an ex-husband, brothers, sisters, children, whatever it is that's created whatever it is in your life that you still hold on to. Corrie Ten Boom was in a concentration camp, Nazi concentration camp, and she came and she went to a pastor and she said, I'm struggling. She said, I'm this speaker, I'm this writing books, and I struggle. I see Nazis and I get angry because of what they've done to me. And he looked at her and he said, it's like the bell in this bell tower in this church. He said, when you ring it, it keeps ringing even after you've stopped. And the problem is you never truly let it go. And every time it comes back up, you pull it again. He said, somewhere along the way, you're just going to have to let go and walk away. You're going to have to let go of it and release it and give it to God. That man left the king's throne room, but he still had his hand around another man's throat. And God's saying, somewhere along the way, we've got to let go of yesterday. That sound that keeps making that noise, that sound that keeps just an annoyance, that sound that's just there, it's that sound that just seems to take over everything that's going on, that sound that brings that anger level to a boiling point, that sound that frustrates. Somewhere along the way, you're going to have to realize that if I'm going to walk on streets of gold, I'm going to have to let this go and walk away. Because if I don't, it's going to affect my salvation. It's going to affect my family's salvation. It's going to affect the people around me's salvation. It's going to affect what God's called me to do. It's going to affect the future of what God has for my life and the ministry for my life. Because in order for me to go on, I first got to make sure that everything back there is okay. David, I need you to take care of some stuff. But it's not my fault. And God said, it doesn't matter whose fault it is. It's got to be right in order for you to move on. I didn't have anything to do with this problem. You should just fix it. And he said, no. Until you go back and make things right, you might not even know that person's name anymore. But the thought of them can take you to that moment in time. There are people that you're angry at in your life that has done nothing to you. It's the people that you are projecting what people in your past have done that remind you of them that you have projected whatever it is in your life on. We've got to understand that in order for us to live in the peace and the joy, we're talking about having a healthy soul and a healthy inside man. We've got to somehow, some way let go of that rope, let go of that throat, because we cannot go into our future as long as we're holding on to something in our past. Lord Jesus, I ask you right now, God, that your spirit would move and flow in this place. Lord God, if there's anything inside of us, oh God, that over the past several weeks or months that seems to come to a boiling point, if there's anything inside of us, oh God, that is constantly being brought up, God, is it you that is trying to change me? Is this you that's trying to get into my life to show me some things about me that are not right? Is it you that's trying to reveal some stuff in me that I refuse to let go of from yesterday? Is it you that's trying to help me walk on streets of gold? And if it is, God, this morning I want to let go of that rope. This morning, God, I want to let go of that throat. God, I want to put it in my past, oh God, because you said you can't forgive me until I forgive them. I cannot be truly blessed until I quit holding on to the things of yesterday and I walk into my future free of all the encumbrance of what somebody else did in my past. In Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. I can't be free until I release. It's Matthew 5 and 23 that said, so if I am standing before the altar in the temple, offering a sacrifice to God, and suddenly I remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there beside the altar. Go and reconcile to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. That person you might not ever see again. That person might be dead and gone. But somehow, some way, you've got to reconcile. God, I forgive them. God, I release them. God, I didn't do anything wrong. They did it. But God, today, God, I release them because I will not drag this mess with me anymore. I will not listen to the sound of that noise that has turned into something that drives me crazy anymore. God, I've got to let it go and walk away. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. I'm thankful that I serve a God that will not let me go, amen. I'm thankful that I serve a God that as long as I want to live for Him, and even when I don't want to live for Him, where can I flee from His presence? Where can I go? His hand holdeth what? It holds fast. I'm not letting you go. I'm not letting you go. I'm going to keep bringing these things up in your life because you can't be saved until you take care of them. I'm going to keep allowing these things to come to the surface. And we say, well, why am I always dealing with this mess? It might have something to do with we haven't yet dealt with that mess. We haven't finally turned around and looked behind us and said, there's the problem. Tracked ourselves back through our ledger to the place where it all went wrong and why everything is off now when we look at the end of the account and say, this is it right here. That's the area I've got to fix. In Jesus' name.